Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, A Phoenix Rises, Barbarian discovers television and the best romantic movies of all time, according to us. And by us, I'm including Lee Vowell, who is with us again this week. But first, just to further complicate Todd's emotions, let's take a quick look at the Super Bowl commercials, which I thought, with the exception of one, were pretty much crap this year. What did you guys think?
I thought a couple were quite funny, but yeah, overall, nothing major.
I wasn't terribly impressed. I liked the second, I was telling Lee, I liked the second Tide ad with the Old Spice one, the Get Off My Horse. After that, I was kind of, eh.
I thought it was a bad grouping as well. And kind of like I told you before the show, after watching all those Tide ads, I felt like I'd actually watched the Super Bowl mixed in with a Stranger Things show, because we saw the cop from Stranger Things so much on all those Tide ads. And it was like, is he in different ads? And then I realized, oh, these are all just Tide ads, because I wasn't watching them that closely, except for like the movie trailers and things like that. But yeah, I just, some of them were just, the one with the Martin Luther King, was it a Dodge Ram? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. It was a Dodge ad.
I thought that was extremely poor taste.
That was talk about being tone deaf. I was watching that and it's like, this is nice that they're showing this, but they're doing this to sell trucks. Are you kidding me? What the hell?
There are other things you can use that speech for. Trucks are not one of them.
Yeah. It's just, that was a holy, you know what, moment. It's like, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah. I think that's the way I thought it was going. Felt.
Yeah, and I thought it was the thought the commercial was going somewhere. Like, oh, this is going to have a good. And it's like, oh, trucks for white guys. And I'm glad we can have the. I'm glad this took place in February. It was awful.
Well, yeah. Except not.
Yeah, it really was awful.
What did you guys think about the trailers, though? The two that kind of stood out to me, MI6. Or Mission Impossible 6, I guess, because I saw that and went, oh, still have no idea what the movie's going to be about. Not that you ever really do going in.
Well, and secrets secrets are stolen and then the good guys win. I mean, that's what those movies are all about. I mean, they're fun, but
yeah,
they're not about anything. They're just about Tom Cruise breaking an ankle in another stunt. I mean,
and a Superman mustache. Don't forget the Superman mustache.
Yeah.
Which I have to
give him. I felt the same way about that trailer. It was, and you're both right, because I don't know what it's about, and it's, you know, I'm not going in to think, oh, this is going to be some
award.
Intellectual thing. Yeah, it's going to be, this is going to be fairly mindless entertainment. And I feel like they do a good job with the Mission Impossible films, but I thought the first half of the trailer I thought was better than the second half. And the second half, it was just like, now we're going to show a fight scene for 45 minutes of the second half of the trailer.
Yeah. I mean, Ghost Protocol was really good. Actually seemed to have a little more going on than what they usually do, probably because Brad Bird was the director and actually had some direction. But even that, it's just kind of, I really couldn't tell you much about it other than, oh, look, there's Jeremy Renner for the first time. I mean, they're fun. They're great. I'm not knocking them, but they don't really stay with you. I mean, they're absolute popcorn movies. Like you said, Lee, I mean, they're really well done for what they are, but who cares? I mean, they could show the trailer from any one of the now six and you wouldn't have no idea that it wasn't the first or the third or whatever, except for who's cast and how old Tom Cruise looks.
Even then,
he's still in better shape than I am. Right. I mean,
hell yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to argue that either. What'd you think of the Solo trailer? Or I guess it was the teaser and the trailer came out later or whatever. I actually thought, hey, this looks like a movie I might be interested in seeing. Because when I heard that they were doing a Han Solo, I guess, origin story, I remember the novels, which were brilliant in doing that. And then I heard the movie was coming and went, oh, they're going to screw it up because they disavowed all the novels. But this actually, it actually looked like it would be a pretty fun movie to go see.
Yeah, I mean, to me it looks fun, but I don't know if they're going to be able to get over that huge obstacle they have is someone's playing. He's not playing Han Solo. He's playing Harrison Ford.
Right.
As Han Solo. I mean, if it wasn't some iconic performance and it was an iconic character, two different things. That's going to be tough. And to me, from the teaser, it just kind of looks like, oh, I'm going to smirk the way it just doesn't have the right feel to me. I mean, and in just such a short, brief time, I mean, yeah, he can't really establish how he's playing the character, all the rest of it. But if it's just going to be a cheap impersonation, then it's going to suck. I mean, his performance, the movie might still be fun, but.
Right.
Right. I actually like that they have a Childish Gambino as Lando.
I was just about to say, now that rocks. Yeah. That I'm looking forward to. I think he can save the movie.
Yeah. Donald Glover Jr., of course, is the same person. But it's I like him in everything I've seen. And the guy who plays Han, I've only seen him. He was in Hail Caesar. Did you guys see that?
I never did get around to watching that.
Same here.
He's a dumb guy, isn't he, in Hail Caesar?
He's not
one of
dumb.
The dumb guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's not dumb. He's just new. He's fresh out off the farm, basically. And he has this one really funny scene, actually, with Ralph Fiennes, where Ralph Fiennes is directing the film, and he's trying to tell him over and over how to say this line, and he never gets it right. It's funny the way they interact with each other, but he wasn't terrible in that. He also wasn't, like, he didn't really stand out, like, oh, man, this guy I can see as Han Solo. But, I mean, who could I really see as Han Solo? I mean, if they're gonna go that young, you know, it's like,
that's tough.
I don't know who it would be, right? And then, like you said, Todd, it's, you run the risk of really just being Harrison Ford instead of Han Solo. So it'll be interesting. Ron Howard directing it, that might be kind of cool. If he has fun with it, it might be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's one good potential saving grace. Although it is kind of scary, is like the fact that he had to come in and take over, and how much had to be reworked, and, you know, the fact that they've put off any kind of trailers or anything until this point also kind of makes it scary. So, I mean, not like we won't all go see it, obviously, and hopefully we all love it, but that's kind of dangerous territory. But like you said, I'm really looking forward to, I really hope they list him in the credits as Childish Gambino. I know they won't, but I mean, that would be awesome. That would make me happy. And he is great. He's excellent.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen Atlanta, it's really, really good.
Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes of it.
Well, did you see the other trailers that came out after the Super Bowl? Like, let's see, Venom had a trailer that he's not even in.
No, I noticed that.
Yeah, that doesn't really bother. I mean, do we really need to? I would rather see, I'm sorry, if you're casting Tom Hardy, I want to see Tom Hardy. I don't want to see some CGI creation that anybody could be. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. I'm not particularly upset that Venom is not in the Venom trailer. I know what Venom looks like. I don't need to see him to sell me to go see the movie. I mean, unless the CGI is so awful you don't want to show it, which it's Sony, so that won't be the case. The plot could be terrible because it's Sony, but yeah. Again, Marvel's helping them out, so it should be good. I'm totally down with Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock / Venom. That's very cool. And I'm really glad they're going with the anti-hero version as opposed to just the straight-up villain. So the trailer, I don't care. I know I'm going to see Venom in the movie. I don't need to see him in a trailer. It's not like they have to prove to me Venom is in a Venom movie. So I think it's kind of crazy that there's all this uproar about Venom wasn't in it. It's like, well, okay, you're right. It's not the Venom movie. It's just that movie where he's talking on the phone the entire time in the car. That's what this movie is. Which I can't think of the name of the movie, but that's a great movie. It makes me sad I can't think of it. But anyway, yeah, I don't care that Venom, the character's not in it. It's CGI. Who cares? You know what it's going to look like.
You said the CGI thing, which brings me to the Deadpool trailer, and which had a good jab at the people who do the CGI with Cable showing up with the unfinished CGI arm. And having to cut to somewhere else where Deadpool screws around for a while. Oh, they finished the CGI. Let's go back to the actual trailer. I'll give him that. That was funny. I'm still kind of up in the air because I still don't think he looks that much like Cable, even with the finished CGI. He's not wide enough, but that's just me.
Well, who would be wide enough to play Cable, though?
I don't know.
They have to crack his ribs to make him wide enough to
play. That's probably true.
That trailer was hilarious. I love that trailer. And I hope he is playing with action figures of himself and Cable in the movie. That would be great.
That's what I thought, too. That would be awesome.
And there's no reason for him not to, because the movies are so out of the box, over the top, off the chain, inside the hook. I don't know what the other phrase is, but yeah. That trailer totally sold me.
Inside the hook.
Inside the hook.
You know, that actually kind of goes to the next bit, where DC is going to have their version of Deadpool, who's actually an older character, mm-hmm. Lobo, is going to be getting a film directed by Michael Bay. Oh, good.
I know.
I was looking back at Michael Bay's directorial resume, and from like 89 to 95, he was doing music videos from like Aerosmith and Tina Turner. And I thought, oh, maybe that's why I don't care for his movies as much, until I got to the Divinyls, I Touch Myself, which kind of made up for all the other videos he did. okay, so Lobo getting a movie. First off, that's got to be R, too, because that's the Lobo's books. I remember back when I collected comics, going into the comic shop and going, ooh, Lobo, are you over 18? You have to be to buy that comic. I'm like, oh, crap, really? So it kind of has to be, I would think. I don't know if it's going to be mixed in with what they consider the DC universe. You guys interested in seeing a Lobo movie?
Not directed by Michael Bay.
Yeah, and I was going to say not particularly. And at first I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And then it's Michael Bay, and it's like, oh, geez. That's not a good thing.
He lights his cigars with lens flares.
And how many explosions can we cram into this movie? I mean, just no. No, thanks.
Well, that goes to the other DC movie news that came out this week. The Joker origin film. It's not Jared Leto anymore. It's Joaquin Phoenix, who looks more like the Riddler to me, but, you know.
Whatever. Well, Joaquin Phoenix is very cool, and anything over Jared Leto, over his performance in Suicide Squad, not over Jared Leto, but over the way he played Joker, is an upgrade. Yeah, I don't really particularly care for Jared Leto as the Joker. I watched a little bit more of Altered Carbon, and one of my favorite character actors pops up, and I was thinking, this is the guy who should play Joker, Matt Frewer.
Oh, yes.
Especially if they are still doing Ben Affleck someday in the distant future, like in 2,000 years, he's playing Batman, so they can have an older Joker. Oh my God, he would be awesome. And his character, this is kind of manic. Imagine Matt Frewer playing a manic character, but I think, no, don't, let's not have Joaquin Phoenix play him. And if it's an origin film, yeah, okay, Matt Frewer's too old, whatever, but please let this guy play the Joker. I mean, if we're not going to have Mark Hamill, because they're never going to give us that, the bastards, but Matt Frewer would be great.
Actually, I just looked him up. I didn't, for some reason, I was thinking Matt Frewer was older than, he's just 60. The last several times I've seen him, he's looked, how to say this nicely, older.
Older, yeah.
I think Phoenix works well with the Joker. I mean, because he has that kind of vibe where it's like he's, you know, he's not altogether there sometimes. I mean, and I know the whole thing with where he was acting, quote unquote, acting for 2 years while they were making the Casey Affleck thing.
Right.
Not even including that. But I mean, I think Phoenix is a really good actor. And I think he could pull off the Joker, but Scorsese, I mean, that's pretty interesting.
That's going to be a weird film, I think.
It is, yeah.
We're going to see the first trailer and go, what the hell is this? And someone's going to pop up out of the corner and go, oh, it's a Tide ad.
That's right. Yeah. DiCaprio kills everybody at the end.
Although, who are we more interested in? Are we more interested in watching Scorsese doing a Joker origin or in Michael Bay doing, well, Michael Bay doing anything?
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's going to be weird, it's going to be. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I mean, that's just a strange. What a weird thing. It's just, I still can't quite wrap my mind around. It's like Scorsese's doing a comic book movie.
That's not who I would have guessed.
Yeah. It will definitely be cool.
But on the bright side of the comic movie news, I mean, okay, it's not a movie. It's a TV series, but who cares? Jessica Jones is coming back on March 8th. We finally have a date for that. And if it's even half as good as the first one, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be much more than half, though.
Yeah, that's a yay. The trailer looks excellent.
And you, Black Panther, coming soon to a theater near us, directed by Ryan Coogler, who I'm hoping I pronounced that correctly. And Todd, you said you had something on him that you wanted to talk about, but didn't tell me why.
No, just that to prep for the Black Panther film, at some point I'll watch Civil War again, but I watched Coogler's first two films, actually. Probably try to get to watch Creed again tonight. But, I mean, his first two movies probably tie in as much to Black Panther or what he's going to do with it as the actual Marvel universe. And if people listening, all 17 million, haven't seen Fruitvale Station, you really need to watch that film, regardless of any kind of prep work. But, I mean, it has a really good look at the sensibilities of what Coogler is going to be doing with this film, because all the reviews are talking about how this is a different kind of comic book movie, and this deals with serious issues. Not that it's heavy and preachy, but it's just woven through the fabric of the movie. And both Fruitvale Station and Creed, both definitely, obviously, about the experience of people with more melanin than the rulers of this country, and excellent, excellent movies.
They are, yeah.
Fruitvale Station, not a particularly happy film. Creed is a much happier film, and the one thing that's really stuck to me with Creed, and if people aren't familiar with that, it's basically the son of Apollo Creed, blah, 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 and Rocky comes back and helps him out. But the sad thing about that film is Michael B. Jordan, who is awesome in everything.
Except didn't get that enough. Fantastic Four movie.
Well, he was fun in that.
Actually, yeah, I guess he was okay in that too.
Not his fault. That.
Never mind. Ignore me on that.
He was a piece of crap. Didn't get nomination. Didn't get a nomination, but Sylvester Stallone did. And Stallone was really good. But again, it's like, oh, let's go for the white guy in a movie about a black character and how he deals with his heritage, you know, living up to his father. Just kind of, that pissed me off at the time. But Michael B. Jordan, I mean, this is the third film. He's playing the lead villain in Black Panther, and this is the third time he's collaborating with Coogler. So we're just talking about Scorsese. I mean, to me, this is like the new Scorsese / De Niro / DiCaprio, since that's the replacement, because I mean, based on Fruitvale Station and Creed, this movie is going to be excellent. And I don't mean excellent for a comic book movie. I mean excellent. Like, oh, this may be nominated for an Oscar. I mean, that's totally my expectation.
That's really high expectation for a film. I mean, but Coogler is, yeah, like you said, Creed and Fruitvale Station are both fantastic films. So if anybody hasn't seen them, they should do it after the show immediately. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting to me when you have he's only 31, I think, Coogler is. So it's always exciting when you have a young director who seems to have total control over what his films are supposed to be in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then does a film like this. I think it only should portend good things for Black Panther.
Portending is good. moving on from Black Panther a bit, I meant to bring this up when we talked about the casting thing with the two young, the actor who's young for a role and too old for a role. Here's a young person that doesn't make sense for this role. Matt Smith, who previously played Doctor Who two regenerations ago, who still looks like he's frickin' 12, is scheduled to play Charles Manson in a biopic.
But isn't he playing Manson a younger Manson?
Well, he'd kind of have to, I would think.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen Matt Smith. I saw Matt Smith in Doctor Who. I've also seen him as Prince Philip in The Crown.
Mm-hmm. I hate typecasting people, and that's actually exactly what I just did to Matt. Sorry, Matt.
But I think he does a really good job. As much as I hate British royalty, I think he does a really good job with Prince Philip, and I think it actually could transpose over to a Manson character fairly easily. So I think he could play the role, but I think you're right. It just depends on the age. But my feeling was it was a Manson film that was actually late 60s, I thought, is what the character. I may be wrong about that. Surely it's not going to be Manson. Maybe he'll flash forward and it'll be a different actor.
It's not today because he's kind of dead.
No, I mean, I don't think they're showing his prison years, you know, in the 80s.
Yeah,
I think
what's the point in showing that? We've already got how many prison movies and TV shows?
Not enough.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't make any sense to show him in prison because there's not much of a story there. It was like, hey, Charlie, how you doing? Hey, and he utters some epithet and they keep on walking and they go back to the next scene. So, yeah, it's got to be
a big day two credit on the screen.
Yeah,
day three.
I've never cared for Matt Smith at all as Doctor Who, but the other things I've seen him in, like you mentioned, is playing Prince Philip. He's very good. I think that's a very interesting casting. And of course, he'll absolutely sound like he's from California because he's British. So you know, they'll do this with no problem whatsoever. It's infuriating. But, yeah, I think it'll be pretty compelling and scary and weird.
And I'm actually I'm not sure that Charles Manson is actually the main character in the film either.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's the three ladies and then it's more so. Yeah. But, yeah, it does look like it's just from what I can view, it does look like it's he's a younger Manson. They have a photo of him, and actually did a pretty good job with because Matt Smith doesn't look anything like Charles Manson, but they did a good job of making Smith look like Manson.
Well,
so.
That's he does, what makeup's for.
He does cover up that swastika on his forehead. Makeup, so
it's on his neck, actually. I've kissed him there. I mean, I've seen it there. So.
Wow, how to move on from that. Okay.
Yeah, segue from that, sucker.
Yeah, Amazon. I don't know how that's a segue. Amazon Studios is supposedly working on a TV series based on Conan the Barbarian, which I thought we already had. Didn't we already have a Conan TV series that flopped horrendously around the same time that, Hercules and Xena were around?
Probably. I don't know. Mm-hmm. How can you tell?
I don't know anymore. So what do you think about Conan getting a TV series? Because the James Earl Jones movie, which everyone loved, and the second movie, which some people liked, and the third one, which Jason Momoa liked.
Yeah, he liked it. I don't care at all.
I don't. Yeah,
Conan the Barbarian TV show.
Yeah, I don't really care about but I didn't know James Earl Jones ever played Conan. That's interesting.
That was really good, actually. How about the multiple Star Wars TV series that are on their way?
And this is back to, I know it's jumping ahead a little bit later, but the Disney streaming service, that's who's going to have the Star Wars series, right?
I think they're going to have...
That's what I've read, yeah.
At least one of them, but yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, if they do as good a job as they have with the films, which they won't, because it'll be some... from what I understand, there's no R-rated stuff on the Disney streaming service, so there's probably going to be no, titulation with a Star Wars series, so they're probably going to be just like any other Disney series, so it'll be like, oh, great, this is made for populace and has no edge to it and is not very good.
you know, the they're going to be on the Disney streaming service. And yeah, let's go ahead and get that out of the way. the service, which is supposed to start in the fall of 2019, supposed to have TV series based on High School Musical, Monsters, Inc., as of yet untitled live-action Marvel series, a Star Wars series, and films including an inexplicable remake of Three Men and a Baby.
That's all. And with the scary kid, with the scary kid and the curtains. Let's not...
Exactly.
And then live adaptations of The Sword and the Stone. I suppose I'm with that. And Lady and the Tramp, which there's a CG movie. Yay. There's nothing on this that makes me go, ooh, I've got to see this. But I'm not in the demographic they're going for.
No, I'm hoping they make Lady and the Tramp as live action and Patton Oswalt wears a dog costume and McKinnon wears a dog costume. That would be fun. I would totally watch that.
And they probably would do it.
They probably would.
No, oh, they'd probably do it for free. They're probably doing it this weekend just, you know, for the hell of it.
Wow. So
I'm looking forward to the spaghetti scene.
Moving on from Disney, but keeping with the remakes thing, Desilu Studios has announced that they're doing a big budget version of the miniseries V. But it's being done with the original creator Kenneth Johnson writing the script. And he said he's finally going to be able to do the cinematic. It's going to be a trilogy because, you know, you can't cram 6 hours of miniseries into a 2-hour movie unless you're making an X-Men film. but he says he's finally making this trilogy in a way that will be able to tell the whole story the way I originally envisioned it, which admittedly you couldn't have done a whole lot with something like this back in the 80s. But
yeah,
they did a pretty good job, I thought, back then, considering. Would you guys want to go see an actual V movie?
Well,
I would not. Sorry to interrupt you. I would not.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go do that. I mean, if it was on a streaming service, since we've been talking about streaming services, I might watch it. But I wasn't that huge a fan of the original show. I mean, it was well done, but just didn't do that much for me. I was hoping that this was going to be a relaunch of I Love Lucy. That was the big news. With Patton Oswalt as Lucy. I would totally watch that.
With big ears.
Actually, Oswald would make a good Desi.
He would.
Oh, boy. Okay, so speaking of streaming services and remakes of stuff, there was a movie that I saw not too long ago that critics are hating, but there's a growing number of people who absolutely love it, even though I watched it and can't bring myself to have that much of an opinion. It's a movie called Bright, which is on Netflix. Watch it after the show. Wait till we're done. It really is. It's a remake of an 80s movie. They just tweaked it a bit. It's Alien Nation,
yeah,
if you remember that movie. Only there's no aliens. It's magic stuff. Will Smith, who I'm trying to figure out how they got Will Smith into this movie, plays a cop in L.A. whose partner is the first orc cop. Ooh, look, a parallel. So there's orcs and elves and fairies and centaurs and dragons, etc., etc. They're spliced in throughout the movie. Premise basically is that magic is outlawed. And if it pops up, it's tracked down by a federal agency headed by someone who looks like Elrond, but different. And Will Smith and his partner, Nick the Orc, because there's a great name for you, get involved because they find someone, a runaway elf who has stolen a wand from the bad guys. And boy, does this sound like it needs to be a bad animated Disney movie at this point. But it's not. She stole the wand from the bad guys who want to resurrect the evil lord, who we get no information on, who could only be defeated 2,000 years ago by a combined might of all the races. Yeah, that's a Disney movie. Except for the fact that the society in this movie is just as dysfunctional as the one we have now. Racism, go figure, it's a big deal, only instead of skin color, it's actual races. Because elves don't like humans or orcs, and orcs don't like anybody, including themselves, apparently. Not going to do any spoilers for this movie, because you can stream it and make your own opinion, but did I think it was good? It seemed like an episode of the Alien Nation TV series. So I'll be honest, I wasn't terribly impressed. It was a good story. It was not terribly riveting, though. It was well-paced, but at the same time, it felt slow. It's one of those movies you watch and go, did I like this? I can't really tell if which I think is why the critics hate it. Because you can't really... You can't tell whether are we moving forward with the storyline? No, wait, we've stepped back three. Where are we going? I don't understand. So I give the entire movie a whatever. That's my rating for the movie. I kept trying to come up with an opinion during this, and I can't have one.
That's how I felt about it too. It's not terrible, like the critics are saying, but it's also not good. It's just kind of there. Man. I mean, weird. I mean, for them to have spent that much money, $90 million apparently, to make this, and it's just kind of. But it got people from all the reports. It got people to sign up for Netflix, and that's what they wanted. So, you know, there you go.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, sure.
So, I don't know. There was another streaming movie that I believe you mentioned that you watched this week, Todd.
I did. I did. Streaming. Another Netflix thing, and this one ties in with the Super Bowl ads, because we saw the ad for Cloverfield Paradox, and they've been talking about this movie for a few months. J.J. Abrams is attached to it as producer, and of course it continues the very loosely connected films Cloverfield and 10 Cloverfield Lane, and it's like, oh, here's the third movie in what's not really a trilogy at all. And suddenly, instead of a theatrical release, oh, Netflix has it. Oh, and by the way, you can stream it right after the game, which, of course, I sure as hell didn't, because it was way too late. But I did watch it later in the week.
West Coast people can stream it.
There you go. It was – I liked it more than I liked Bright, tied with the other Netflix big streaming film. I'm glad it was on Netflix as opposed to going to see it at the theater. If I'd seen it at the theater, I probably would have been disappointed. And again, because as Cloverfield Lane had very little tie-in to Cloverfield, because it was a different movie until they were halfway through and said, oh, let's make this a Cloverfield movie. This was originally called God Particle. There's no tie-in whatsoever to Cloverfield. It's people that are trying to start this linear accelerator on a space station to create a power source, because Earth is just going to hell because there's not enough energy and the economies are collapsing everywhere. They managed to go into a parallel dimension where Earth is in really terrible shape, not just bad like they were in, and they're trying to get back and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, it does tie into Cloverfield, finally. It's an inserted scene, probably cost them $1.5 million to make or something, lasts maybe 15 seconds. It's like, oh, that's why it's Cloverfield. So it really has nothing to do with the Cloverfield universe, except for this little thing they threw in at the end. It's a good movie, definitely worth streaming, because you're already paying the money for Netflix, so go ahead and watch it. It's also being ripped by critics quite a bit. I don't think it's a bad movie at all. But again, it's just kind of a popcorn movie. It has a really good cast, and it's just one of these situations where you probably needed a little bit more coherent plot. That's the main problem with it, but it's entertaining. I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Passengers, and I did pay money to go see Passengers, so you know, another big science fiction flick. Yeah, so if you already have Netflix, yeah, by all means watch Cloverfield Paradox. Do not sign up for Netflix to watch either Bright or Cloverfield Paradox, because then you will feel like you've wasted your money. Just watch one of the other hundreds of things that are on Netflix that are worth watching.
You didn't need MoviePass to see it then?
Did not need MoviePass. You know, can I mention something about MoviePass briefly?
That was my segue.
Thanks. Every week there's at least one story, if not two, about, oh, you better watch out about MoviePass, and oh, this is going to fail, and there are virtually no positive stories about MoviePass. And the only thing I can figure out, the only reason for this is that AMC must be planting these stories, because AMC, well known at this point, doesn't like MoviePass, because when it fails, according to AMC theaters, not the channel, then people will be upset, and they, because now they have to pay full price for their tickets, and they're not used to that, which is a pretty stupid concept. And there was an article talking about, well, here's the problem with MoviePass. You can't go see IMAX films. You can't buy movies ahead of time, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay. And is there some problem with actually having to walk up to a movie theater, which most people do, and hand them the credit card and pay for the damn movie, which you've paid for $9.95. In a lot of cases, one movie a month, you're saving money. And if you watch two, you've saved
saving
a ton
more
of
money.
Saved a ton of money. You can literally watch one movie a month. Oh, you can't see the same movie twice on that.
One movie a day for a month.
One movie a day. Yeah, sorry. One movie a day for a month. 30 movies or 31 or in one case, 28. That's a lot of movies. And for people to write articles is like, well, you can't see an IMAX film with it. Well, gee, so sorry. Then pay the extra money if you want to see the freaking IMAX movie. It's unbelievable that this is basically getting shredded in the media every week about what a terrible concept this is and how this isn't going to work. Seems to be working. Mm-hmm. And the only possible downfall is if you pay for an entire year's subscription, which you do not have to do, saves you a little more money if you do, and then it goes belly up and okay, then you've lost the balance. But honestly, all you have to do is see 10 movies in the first month that you've had it. You're still ahead of the game. So who cares if the thing fails? It's just mind-boggling that it's like, oh, MoviePass bad. Yeah, it's really terrible to pay $10 a month and see 30 movies if you want to. I just don't get this, other than the fact that AMC must be behind it. No, and MoviePass decided, is like, okay, well, it's not going to work at these 10 AMC theaters. And there was an article about that. Oh, they've canceled it with a lot of AMC. No, 10 out of, I think, 2,500 theaters. 10, because those were higher-priced theater chains. Well, okay, that kind of sucks, but it's not like it's not good
in really,
AMC
really
theaters.
Big cities.
Exactly. It's like Los Angeles, New York, and I think maybe two other cities. And it was just a few theaters in those cities. And they act like, oh, look, they're backing out from their agreement with AMC. It's like, no, they don't really want to just cover the cost of a $15 ticket. Makes sense to me. That's one way they may stay solvent, by not covering the cost for something that's extremely expensive. So shut up with your horrible anti-movie pass crap. Just, geez, man. Why would anybody not want this to succeed? Makes no freaking sense.
And of course, you didn't need MoviePass to see the movie Lee wants to review this week, because it's old.
That's right. It's old by me. MoviePass, it seems like the people who like it are the people who are regular people like you, me, and everybody else who save money doing it. Yeah, it's kind of a crock.
I don't live in New York. It'll work at my theater.
Yeah, and it's funny so Tinseltown here in Oak Ridge is not an expensive theater. I mean, it's a regular price theater, but they show ads before every movie. Hey, you can spend $8.99 and get a discount on a ticket. So the next time you buy a ticket, it's only $8.99. I'm like, that's more than what I'm paying now for the movie. It's like, are they watching what they're putting before the films? It's ridiculous.
No.
And I was thinking, is it $8.99 a month like MoviePass? No, it's you pay $8.99, but you still pay $8.99 for a movie. It's just ridiculous. So anyway, yeah, I've always loved foreign films, and I know a lot of people try to or they'd stay away from foreign films because they just have to read during the film. A lot of times, unless it's just a very talky film, and there's not a ton of those anymore, you really aren't reading that much. And I believe it's the director that I cannot think of his name, but he's the best director probably in the world. He's made the most money in the world.
Anyways, Michael Bay.
Michael Bay, yes. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you. No, it's guy who directed Jaws.
And in the Spielberg, end, yeah.
Yeah, Spielberg says if you turn, you know, if you're watching a film, you can tell it's a really good film if you turn the sound down and watch it and you still know what's going on and you still enjoy it. Because that's really what you're watching in a film. You're watching the film instead of listening to the words necessarily. They all go together sometimes. But anyway, No Man's Land is a film that came out in 2001. Basically, it's a very fairly simple structure of a story because it's one soldier is from Bosnia. It takes place during the Bosnian War. One soldier is from Bosnia. Another is a Serb. And they end up, there's a trench in the middle of this big field where they're fighting each other. But nobody goes into the field. It's almost like World War One, you know, where they can't go over because they'll be shot. So anyway, it's dark and they're trying to crawl. One of the groups is trying to crawl across the grass, ends up in this trench. The other group basically ends up the same way. So you've got two soldiers on either side in this trench. And there's another guy in the trench that has been booby-trapped. He's alive, but he's booby-trapped. He's lying on his back and he has a jumping mine. So if he rolls over, the mine jumps up and explodes and kills everybody. So those three characters. So the whole point is these two guys on opposite sides, even though they never like each other, they have to learn to not kill each other because the other guy will just roll over and blow them up. So it's a really simple, it's a parable, basically. It's not an actual thing that happened during the war, but it's just showing you how both sides really need to get to work together and make the world a better place in a way. So what happens is, the twist is that at the end, the media finds out about it, and so does the UN. And Simon Callow is a British actor, if you guys know who he is. He's been around forever. He is over the UN troops, ends up doing something at the end, basically to spin the story so that the UN looks better. So it came out in 2001, but it's still so fitting in 2018 because all we do is spin stories, especially in the United States. So we don't really know the facts about what happened, and you don't know the facts in the story unless you're there with the people in the trench. So it's just a really, really good film. I think I watched it on Netflix. There is some English spoken at the end, so if anybody doesn't want to watch it, there's a little bit of English in it. But the acting is phenomenal. The directing is just great. I'm going to not do justice. It's Danis Tanovich was the director. He's directed other things. I've watched a couple of them. Really, really well-done film. Doesn't try to do too much. It just is what the story is. Definitely worth watching No Man's Land. But it made me think. No Man's Land won it in 2001. Another horrible film won it, Best Foreign Language Film Oscar in 2000, called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. the same year No Man's Land won it, Amelie was nominated and didn't win because No Man's Land won. Life is Beautiful won 2 years before that. There are great foreign films made every year that people are not watching. And so if anybody just has nothing else to do, watch a foreign language film. You know, look into it. Hey, was this one well reviewed? Yes. Then I'll take a chance and watch, because what we get from foreign language films to me are a different point of view of directing and filmmaking.
Exactly.
We get shut up in our little, you know, Hollywood world here, and we have to fight for films like Lady Bird, for instance, or Three Billboards. And there's so many films out made every year in the world that are worth watching. People should watch more foreign films, basically, is what I'm saying.
I'll agree.
Agreed. And that's exactly what I was thinking when you were saying is just it's you get the different viewpoint. And that's more than ever, it's valuable to look at things from different perspectives. Or it should be. And unfortunately, the people who should often won't. But
yeah. You know, if your skin is orange, you have trouble understanding those letters on the bottom of the screen.
It's because the capitalization is not correct. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's longer than a tweet. I don't understand. So, yeah, there's that. And one of the things, this is not a segue in the slightest. One of the other things we were going to talk about during this show, and I want to do this because Lee says he has to leave soon. So we're going to do this before Lee leaves. It's since Valentine's Day is coming. What is the most romantic film of all time? Is that what we wanted to talk about? or just best Valentine's film or date film. I don't know. Something like that.
All of the above.
Ah, got it. So we're going to do what, a top three for each of us, starting with Lee, since he says he wants to leave soon. Something about a lunch date.
I do have three. And basically, the first one revolves around the character Poop in the Emoji film. No, I did. Patrick Stewart did that, because I'll never watch that film. But I have three. And so my three, I have Love Actually, which is a good Christmas film, but I really just like the story as well. Say Anything, which, of course, is the classic John Cusack holding the boombox over his head. And then Before Sunrise, the first of the trilogy so far. There's probably going to be another one in 5 years or so. But, just the interaction with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. It's really, really well done. It's a great film. And just the whole – Richard Linklater does a phenomenal job directing that film. I did have one for – there's parents out there kind of like me today. But there's a lot of parents out there. Maybe they don't have a significant other. And they're home with their kid. And their kid is like, that's my Valentine. You're my Valentine. It's not a romantic thing, but still, you have my heart kind of thing.
Yeah.
You should watch Chaplin's The Kid. It's a really good film if you have a child there with you, because it's just about, if you guys haven't seen Chaplin's The Kid, I know you probably have, but anybody out there listening haven't seen it. Once you see it, you'll be like, oh, that's what he's talking about. So.
It is lovely indeed.
Agreed.
And now go enjoy your luncheon, sir.
Thank you. And go Hawks.
Wow, that's a little premature, but okay.
I'm so sad he didn't mention Ironweed. I was sure he was going to go that route.
I thought it was Ironweed. Yeah. That's what he was smoking before the... No.
That totally makes sense. I'm kind of irritated that Lee went with Say Anything, because I really don't want to put that on my list now. And I was really leaning towards that. But I mean, there's so many, so I won't go with that route. Okay. I'll go with Notorious, which is a spy thriller with Cary Grant and Ingrid Bergman, which is also really a romance. She is forced to marry a suspected Nazi, and he is a secret agent who is trying to figure out what's going on. And they're not supposed to fall in love, but they do. It's an awesome, it's a romantic espionage thing by Alfred Hitchcock. It's awesome. I will go with... No, I'm not going to go with Manhattan, because that's gross. You know what? I am just going to go with Say Anything. That's a great romantic film, and John Cusack is awesome. And for my number one, I'll go with Casablanca.
Ooh.
Which has many romances going on, including the bromance at the very end. So Casablanca is just, to me, is a great romantic film, because it's the unrequited romance, and that's all about sacrifice and all those wonderful things. So totally dig one of my favorite films ever, easily.
See, my list is very strange, because I got my wife to help me with it, because romance movies are not my thing.
Have you seen any of these films, Rob?
I have seen all three of these films, I picked these I picked two of them because I liked them, and the third one is my wife's favorite film.
Oh, excellent.
Number three, for me, I put Some Kind of Wonderful.
Yeah.
Which I really liked that film. I remember liking it when it came out in theaters, which was even before I met my wife.
Ooh, I'm going to interrupt for a second. I'm changing. I just realized I'm taking up Say Anything, because I really like it, and I'm putting in 10 Things I Hate About You instead. Okay. Back to you, Rob.
Right. Some Kind of Wonderful. The guy has crush on girl, but has girlfriend, not girlfriend. There's a space in between. Ends up realizing, girlfriend should be girlfriend, and girl I really like should not. Anyway, good movie. Go see it. Or it's probably on Netflix. I would think it would be. Number two, one of my wife's favorite movies, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I've watched it. I haven't entirely gotten the romance part of it. A lot of it... It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but she says she likes it, and it's a great romance movie, so fine. I'm putting it on my list, because I don't want to sleep on the couch.
Well, she's right. It is a great movie, and it's a great romance film, and it's Audrey Hepburn. I mean, geez,
oh,
man.
Well, yeah.
Well,
I'm not saying she's not great to look at. I'm just...
She's wonderful. Anyway.
Yes. Was. Number one, and a lot of people are going to go, this is not a romance movie. It's a romance movie. Lady Hawk.
Oh, that's totally a romance movie.
I know. See, a lot of people have looked at it and gone, he's wearing armor and has a sword, and she turns into a bird, and Matthew Broderick is there being Matthew Broderick when he was really, really funny.
And really,
it's
really
a romance
young.
Movie, damn it.
It's...
Lovers separated because a priest said ooga booga or whatever he said to put the curse on them. Yes, that was a great movie. It had a weird soundtrack, but it was a great movie.
Well, you know, of course you had a weird
soundtrack. I don't think Alan Parsons when I think Dungeons and Dragons, although I probably should, I suppose.
If it's made in the 80s, it's pretty much going to have a weird soundtrack. I mean,
it's going to have a weird soundtrack, but it was a great movie.
It is.
You should pick at least three of those and go and watch them with your significant other. So there. As opposed to, and I guess I'm going back to movie news a bit, as opposed to the Emoji Movie, which no one should see, and is apparently responsible for Jordan Peele no longer acting. He did an interview this week where they said, and I'm not going to quote this because it would turn into, I'll beep out naughty words. This would turn into Morse code if I actually read this quote. He said he was actually offered the role of Poop in the Emoji Movie, and he said, man, that's a bit weird. Let me sleep on it. And the next day he called back and said, all right, what do they want? No, we gave it to Patrick Stewart. Well, fine. And he quit acting after that. That is his quote in paraphrase form. So yet another reason to hate the Emoji Movie, because I liked Jordan Peele. I thought he was funny. Now he's going to do directing, and he's done a good job of directing so far. So, hey, keep it up, methinks.
He'll be back. Let's see.
Oh, he will be. And I have actually only got one story left, and it's very short and stupid. Do you have anything else to throw into the show? Because I know we've lost Lee.
We like short and stupid.
Short and stupid. Something to end the show with, then. And it comes from CBS. Actually, CBS News. And you can look this up now, because it's still on the CBS News website. It is a... it's about the Oscars. And they put up a slideshow of what they're calling the worst recent movies ever nominated for a Best Picture Oscar.
All right.
And you know what? I'll probably agree with a lot of them that they should not have been nominated. But here's the problem with what they've done. And this may change by the time you're listening to this. So I'll take a screenshot or something and put it on our website, cinemasavants.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes or the Google Play Store or YouTube even, which I suggest you do. They have this slideshow showing movies like, Rain Man and Fatal Attraction. And I don't know what this one is. And see, that's the problem, because none of these are labeled. They're just pictures of the movies without telling us what the movie actually is.
Oh, that's weird, because I'm on the site and slideshow is working. I mean, it's showing the movies. I mean,
it's showing them, but it's not saying what they are.
No, it's showing the titles. I meant on the side. On the
slide. Oh, you get the titles now? Because all I have is, and the envelope, please. Oh, they fixed it, the bastards. Now that I've made the story and started it. Seriously, I just refreshed it just now, and it's doing it. At the beginning of the show, it wasn't. Although, there is a picture, and I'll take a screenshot of this. There's a picture of Mel Gibson in Braveheart, and it's listed as Good Will Hunting.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, I retract that. Now they're all Good Will Hunting.
Now, see, mine's
There's
working.
Rain Man, Good Will Hunting. There's Nick Nolte and Barbara Streisand, Good Will Hunting.
You have issues, because mine's working. Yeah. See, the difference is mine has an ad for Battle Pope, so that's probably why mine's working.
What?
That's what the ad that popped up was for Battle Pope.
Battle Pope.
I have no idea why they thought I would want to purchase Battle Pope for 99 cents, but they thought I wanted to.
The comic book?
Yeah. I'm not. This is a terrible list, and I don't mean it's a terrible list. A list of terrible movies. It's a terrible list.
I'll agree.
Recent worst recent movies ever nominated for As Good As It Gets. No. Rain Man. No. Mississippi Burning. Hell no.
No. What is the one with Nicole Kidman on top of John Cusack? I think that's John Cusack.
Haven't gotten to that one. One other problem with this is it's a slideshow and it's 31 slides, so they can serve you 31 ads. Shame on you, CBS News.
Maybe it's my ad blocker getting in the way again.
Yeah, it could be. But that's kind of, I think, reprehensible. That
because there's a picture of The Help and it says Goodwill Hunting.
CBS News has a 31.
Scent of a Woman, Goodwill Hunting.
Screen.
Reminds me of my friend who first got into, I'm not going to say who he is, he got into BitTorrenting back when before it was completely illegal.
Lee.
And it was very odd that he said that half of the movies you could get were labeled as, you know, this is The Matrix, this is Goodwill Hunting, this is Field of Dreams, and they all turned out to be Fight Club.
So you got
don't know why.
So he got to watch Fight Club like 15 times. That's fun.
A lot, yes.
Life. Oh, that would piss Lee off majorly. Life is Beautiful, listed as one of the worst films.
Ghost, Goodwill Hunting. Tom Hanks teaching martial arts to a kid, Goodwill Hunting.
I still haven't found the picture you were talking about. This isn't just the...
Terrible. If you go by the drop-down menu, which works, it is the 12th picture between, Helen Hunt and Jack Nicholson in...
As Good As It Gets.
Good Will Hunting, damn it. As good as... And before Rain Man.
Come on.
At least on my list, which is probably in a completely different order than your list.
You're going to work.
Because there doesn't seem to be an order to it at all.
No, so there's no order to it. No. Come on, work. Click.
Now it's click,
stuck.
Damn you.
Now it's stuck. Oh, there. Oh, Moulin Rouge.
That's Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, it's Moulin Rouge. It's Ewan McGregor. It doesn't really look like Ewan McGregor, but it's
It looks
McGregor.
Like John Cusack.
Yeah, it looks more like John Cusack, but which is also...
See, that's a movie that I've only heard from the other room.
That's
because my wife and the kids will watch it occasionally. And I'm like, oh god, they're watching it again.
That's a really good movie. That's very good. This is just who wrote this? I mean, I know it's on CBS News, but this is written by someone who doesn't like movies. Basically, I'd be curious to see what the list of good movies are because this is a crap list. Holy,
the Emoji Movie.
Yeah, I'm sure the Emoji Movie is on here.
I'm sure it is.
They have terrible taste in films, basically. I mean, there are a couple in here that are kind of like, yeah, okay, maybe. But for the most part, whoever wrote the article, worst movies ever nominated for a Best Picture Oscar on CBS News, you are a moron. Holy crap. And if this was a team effort, you all are terrible. You should never write about movies ever again because your taste in movies sucks. Holy God.
Which, yeah. CBS News is good for some things. This is probably not one of them.
Yeah, this is why orange people say it's fake news, because this is, of course, this is just opinion, but it's terrible opinion. And it's terribly constructed, really? You're serving up 31 ads so I can read your horrible, god-awful crap list?
They get money out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about today.
It is indeed.
But MoviePass is good on CBS. No, it's not.
Forbes has a similar thing. I'm going to see what Forbes comes up with, because Forbes, which apparently a couple of the writers for Forbes really hate Star Wars because they wrote so many negative articles about how The Last Jedi is not making as much money as it's supposed to.
Wah.
Yeah, just crazy.
You made more money than you're ever going to. Shut up.
This is worst Oscar-nominated Hollywood movies to date. Okay, well, this is not even fair. They have Suicide Squad. Well, yeah, it was.
Yeah, but it was nominated for, what, Margot Robbie's hair?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and The Phantom Menace. Oh, visual effects. It's like, let's have some serious nominations, okay?
Say what you want about The Phantom Menace and how the story was not good and everything, and you got to give it the visual effects.
Yeah.
Because they really were good. Even Jar Jar wasn't done was done spectacularly for its time. It looks a bit dated now. The character was hideous.
This isn't a bad list because these are bad movies, but it's also kind of pointless. Okay, like Norbit, which I barely remember coming out. It was nominated for makeup and hairstyling.
Eddie Murphy is exactly. 5,000 people?
Yeah, exactly. And it was nominated for makeup and hairstyling. Well, he played like 9 million characters, so of course it should have been nominated for that.
Not all of them were recognizable as him.
There's no point in this list. It's like, yeah, this is a list of bad movies that happened to be nominated. 50 Shades of Grey. Oh, got a nomination for original song.
For most original grayness.
But in Forbes' defense, it's two screens. It's not 30, or actually in this case it would be 10 because it's 10 films. So not exactly a great article, but at least it's on two pages.
That's a start, I suppose. Of course, with my ad blocker, it says, no, you can't look at this page because you won't let us put ads on your... Yeah, that's right. I won't because I don't want to see them. What? Transformers Revenge of the Fallen was one of the worst? Yeah, it was.
Now, here's another one on Business Insider. Funny how so many business magazines are doing a lot of articles on films that are not about the business aspect. Worst movies that actually won Oscars, same kind of thing. Harry and the Hendersons, won for best makeup. Okay, if you say the makeup was bad, then this article makes sense. But that's not what it's about.
The only person in that movie who had makeup was Harry.
Mm-hmm. How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Who was the same guy who played the Predator, by the way.
Right. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Jim Carrey, best makeup.
What was his... Kevin Peter Richardson?
That sounds right. Sounds there.
So do you remember a TV show... called what was it called? The Misfits of Science.
Yeah. He was in that. Yeah.
He was in that without his makeup, and I had it was a long time before I realized, wait, Kevin Peter Hall. There we go.
There we go.
Who died, by the way. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know he was the Predator or Harry until IMDb came out and then went I said, I wonder what he looks like without his makeup. Holy crap, that's dude from Misfits of Science. I never knew. I liked that show. See, there's a show you can remake because it was only on for like half a season before one of the main characters died in a plane crash, which is why we didn't get a season 2 or season 3. There's something to remake, I think.
There are lots of things to remake.
Well, yeah, no, but something we might be interested in seeing.
Since you brought up remakes, I watched a film called Hero, which is on Hulu. Sam Elliott as an aging Western actor and just kind of how his life is going. It's really good. I'm not really going to do a review, but it made me think as like, I think they do so many remakes, and it just kind of struck me because he's, you know, this Western actor in Western films. Why haven't they remade Silverado? And actually, instead of remaking it, I would like them to do Return to Silverado, because those guys are still around and kicking. I think it would be interesting to see what's happened to those characters. And that's a cult favorite. I mean, here we are. It's, what, 30-odd years later. I think it would be cool to see what's happened to these guys, because the four leads, spoiler alert, they're all there at the end of the film. Some of the bad guys aren't, which is sad, because it would be fun to see some of those guys again. But that would be really cool. And Okay. Gosh, I cannot think of the name of the actor who plays the villain, the lead villain. I know he's passed.
Silverado.
In Silverado. I know he's passed away. So he can't be in it. But Ed Harris would be a great villain in that. And he's done Westerns anyway. He'd be fine as a hero, too. And Sam Elliott was not in it, but Sam Elliott should be in it. That would be awesome.
I forgot John Cleese was in that.
Yeah, John Cleese. Jeff Goldblum. But I don't know if they could have... Well, they probably should be able to afford to do it, because none of these guys are commanding high dollars anymore. Not at this point in their careers. And Kevin Costner can direct the damn thing.
Sure, why not?
I mean, because, like we said, he has done some excellent work as a director, but that would be neat. I'd like to see Kevin Kline, Kevin Costner, Danny Glover, Scott Glenn.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're all still working. It seems like they would have fun. I think it would be an interesting thing to revisit to see what has gone on with them, and they can go out and fight injustice as they did in the first one 30 years later. Instead of these endless remakes, reboots about things no one gives a damn about. I mean, those were interesting characters. And all of them, I think, would give some really interesting twists on what it's like to be 30 years older and at that point. And they can cheat with the timeline a little bit. It doesn't have to be 30 years after the story takes place.
It's been 30 years exactly, therefore it must be... No, it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. But
that'll work.
I thought that would be kind of cool. But they definitely need Sam Elliott to come in as like... I don't know if people would buy him as the villain. He'd be awesome, but I don't know if people would buy him as the villain. But
I'll buy it.
But he needs to be in it. That would be so cool.
Well, you know, one other thing that they are going to be remaking is this show next week. And that'll be us doing it.
Excellent.
But it'll be different, and it's not a sequel. It's just another episode.
No, we should do a reboot. We should do the same show, talk about the same stuff.
We're going to do the whole show, only without Lee. We'll replace Lee, recast Lee with Ted.
I think there'll be some contract disputes coming up with that.
We'll see what happens. If you want to find out what happens, tune in next week to another episode of Cinema Savants, available at cinemasavants.com, iTunes, the Google Play Store, and anywhere you find podcasts. And we'll see you next week.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.